Good afternoon. We'll call to order the House Committee on Rules for Wednesday, April 3, 2013. We have a number of resolutions to take up today. Representative Parrish is here and is currently missing her other committee, so we'll first open a public hearing on HCR 18, HCR 19, and HCR 20.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 18 commemorates the 100th anniversary of the city of West Lynn. HCR 19 commemorates the 100th anniversary of the founding of the city of Tualatin. And HCR 20 honors Alice Richmond for contributions to her community.
Right. Please proceed.
Thank you, Representative Garrett, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Julie Parrish. I'm the state rep from House District 37, and I'm bringing the regrets from Senator Devlin, who couldn't be here to join us for these. He's a sponsor of HCR 18, 19, and 20 as well. So real brief, because I know we have things like a state microbe to honor as well. I will be quick in my remarks, and I'm somewhere, my mayor from Tualatin is here floating around somewhere, so we're hoping he's going to get down here in a few moments to join us. But I happen to be fortunate enough to have two major communities who have both of their centennials 3 days apart of each other. So my summer is going to be very busy at all of our community events as we celebrate the 100th anniversary and centennials of West Lynn and Tualatin. And so we are looking for support from the body just to be able to come down and honor two great communities. West Lynn and Tualatin are both what I would kind of consider bedroom communities. Of course, we're suburban to the metro Portland area. But the great thing is with where we live is we have communities where I think our leadership over the course of the 100 years has really been thoughtful about how do you create communities where you live and work and shop and play and do all of those things and be engaged in the community. We are blessed to have very highly civic-minded communities where our Lions Club is 60 years old this year, which I'm proudly a member of. We have newly founded groups like Seroptimus, who are working on things like sex trafficking. We have strong chambers of commerce. We have very active citizen participation in all forms of government process. And so, you know, a community where kids care, families care about education greatly, and a community made up of small business owners. West Lynn, for example, has one of the highest per capita of home-based business in the nation. And so when you think about how people engage in their communities, I have to say I don't know where there's finer examples than in West Lynn and Tualatin. I'm certainly proud to represent them. And so HCR 18 recognizes and commemorates the 100th anniversary of the city of West Lynn. Oh, and Mayor Ogden. And HCR 19 represents, is for the city of Tualatin. I'm going to let you've got both the resolutions in front of you. I don't need to read them to kind of share the background and history there of our communities, but I will certainly give Mayor Ogden an opportunity to talk about some of the really neat things that are happening in Tualatin, and will offer my apologies for Mayor Kovash, who couldn't be here from West Lynn with us today.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chair, with your permission, I have some handouts if you'd like. Well, we certainly thank the committee for this opportunity to be here, and thank you, Representative Parrish, for setting this up.
I need your name for the record, please.
Your pardon?
I need your name for the record.
I'm Lou Ogden, the mayor of Tualatin.
Thank you, sir.
And again, thank you for taking the time to recognize our achievement of existing, having existed for 100 years. And the material you have in front of you was prepared as just a bit of a profile of our community. And I won't take the time of the full committee to go through the entire piece. You can certainly read it at your pleasure. But I do want to point out a couple of key things that we're particularly proud of in Tualatin, if I may. In, 3 minutes? Tell me what's appropriate here. We, as you can see in the literature, have over 26,000 happily engaged citizens in our community, but we also have over 21,000 jobs in our community. And Tualatin is an employment base. I can't tell you that everyone who lives in Tualatin actually works in Tualatin, but they certainly have the opportunity to do so. And that translates in a number of things. One, the vitality of our community. There may be on this page, if it's not on this brochure, yes it is, it shows the family household income, and nearly half of the household income in Tualatin is over $60,000 per year. We don't say that to be snooty, we say that to say that we've provided the opportunity for employment of family wage jobs in our community. The other thing that translates to, quite frankly, is our ability to provide services. Half of our assessed value in Tualatin are the good folks who live there. The other half of the assessed value are the good folks who have created businesses and jobs there. And so when it comes to revenue, half of our property tax is paid by the business community. So they support our fire, our police, but also our parks and libraries and the good things. And so we continue to strive to make Tualatin a livable community, to make it a fun community, make it a family-focused community. Our surveys tell us every year the number one thing people like about living in Tualatin is the small-town feeling, but we're obviously in a metropolitan environment. And so we try to maintain that balance of growth and vitality and business, and yet the place that people want to live, work, learn, and play. And so with that, it's a great pleasure to be able to say that we've been providing that for 100 years. And just if I could just put a bit of humor in, I know that you folks never in your hearings have any level of controversy. We sometimes get that at city council, however, people don't always agree. I will point out that 100 years ago on August 18th, there was a vote taken whether or not the city should incorporate. And it was a hotly contested vote. And it was a very narrow vote. And the issue was whether should we incorporate to get state shared revenues on the liquor, or we would just get rid of the liquor. And so it came down to money went out, and the city was incorporated. And so we've been participating as a beneficiary of the state, both economically, financially, through the state shared revenues and other things for the last 100 years. So thank you for the opportunity to be here.
And Mayor Agnew, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been mayor for almost one-fifth of that?
Well, some would say far too long, but yeah.
It's felt like 100 years. Oh, I mean, it's always been a pleasure
unkind.
To have such a great mayor.
So he's had great stewardship over the community for a significant chunk of that 100 years. But, you know, communities are only as good as the people that live in them. And so HCR 20 is to honor Alice Richmond. And Alice is a community member in West Lynn, and Representative Garrett, you should get to know her because nobody gets to the Senate without the support of this one.
I like it here.
But Alice has lived in West Lynn for 55 years, and I would have to say that if she was not part of West Lynn, there really wouldn't be a West Lynn. This is somebody who, at her young age, organizes our 4th of July event completely of her own accord. The city just kind of moves out of her way and lets her do what she wants. She organizes the Oktoberfest, music in the park. I mean, all of our major events somehow have Alice's fingerprints on them. And everybody knows when her little green car comes cruising through town, watch out, because she's got something on her mind to make our community better. And so Alice has a very storied history of coming to this country as an immigrant, as being an entrepreneur and a shop owner in New York. She started the Pendleton Women's line of clothing for Pendleton Woolen Mills here in Oregon as a designer, and brought women's clothing into their business marketing mix. And again, like I said, we wouldn't have some of the community that we have if she didn't take it on herself to organize and lead us and be our honorary mayor, so to speak. So with that, I'll just give her a few minutes to introduce herself a little further and share some of the highlights of our city.
Thank you.
You have to introduce
yourself.
I want
to say everything.
Hold on, you got to introduce
this
yourself.
This guy that's on my right, and then for Wesley, double it.
Okay.
Double it.
Will you please state your name for the record?
Alice Richmond.
Thank you.
3939 Parker Road. It used to be Route 1. Long ago. But what I want to say is that it is too bad that we have the privilege and the honor to be here for this 100 years. That none of them from back then are here to represent them. They have started by putting one brick, one rock, to build Oregon. And without even having that, and of course, back when I lived in New York with my husband, was born in the West, I always heard, go West, young man, go West. That's the opportunity that it is, not in New York City anymore. But I was very privileged also to be accosted with Pendleton Woolen Mill. I got stuck in here on the West Coast with that. But I'm very proud to have this young lady represent us in Westland, because I think my age permits me to be a little bit on the angry side and tell what's on my mind. We paid our dues. And so when I'm saying that is this, when you live in the city and you want to be a resident and you want to build it, for anybody that is younger than I am, all of you, is you live first for the city and your neighbors. Because if you are successful with that, you are very successful then for your own, and you have a better way of also seeing what needs to be done for the children, which is next coming, they're going to sit in here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Any questions for this panel? Well, thank you both for taking the time. Both communities are my neighbors, and they're both wonderful places, and very happy to have this chance to honor them.
I do hope you see these events in a positive way.
And so we do have 100-year celebrations planned in both communities. Mm-hmm. We have what Tualatin has the oldest crawfish festival in the nation.
Well, the best one, at least.
And one of the oldest in the nation.
I still have an
invitation. So that'll be out this summer. Please come out and join us for any of the events in Westland and Tualatin as we celebrate our 100 years this year. Thanks for having us.
If anything I want to add up to Julie is, please come to the 4th of July. On the 4th of July day, you will mingle with even this lady, with Richard Devlin, a couple other people, the Royal Rosario, you know, Portland, and et cetera, et cetera. So it would be worthwhile to come and enjoy it with your families and all your picnic or whatever you want. It's free. Thank you.
Thank you. Delighted to have you. No further testimony on these, colleagues, so I'll close the public hearing on HCR 18, 19, and 20. Staff informs me we can move all three at once. So I'll open a work session on HCR 18, HCR 19, and HCR 20.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 18, HCR 19, and HCR 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves HCR 18, HCR 19, HCR 20 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Hearing none. Motion carries. Representative Parrish, would you carry all three of these, please? Thank you. I'm going to open a public hearing on HCR 12. Representative Johnson, please come forward. Ms. Seiler.
And Committee HCR 12 is the Saccharomyces cerevisiae as the official microbe of the state of Oregon, otherwise known as brewer's yeast.
That's why we have staff summarize the measures.
Wow.
No,
I'd like to hear the chairman repeat that.
Denied. Representative <Yeah. laughs> Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you so much for having us down for this testimony today. It's a pleasure to be here to testify on behalf of HCR 12, which will proclaim Saccharomyces cerevisiae as the state microbe. Designating Saccharomyces cerevisiae brewer's yeast as the official microbe for the state of Oregon is an important recognition of the impact that this little microbe has had on our states and is having on our state's economy and culture. Saccharomyces cerevisiae is a yeast used for brewing beer, making wine, cheese, and baking. It's most commonly known as brewer's yeast or ale yeast due to being instrumental in the brewing of beer. Oregon is regarded nationwide as ground zero for the thriving craft brew industry in the United States, with Portland having the largest craft brewing market in the U.S. and nearly 170 brewing facilities and over 300 wineries statewide. Oregon made beer and wine is ingrained in the lives of Oregonians, and I would say across the state of, across the nation and across the world. Craft brewing alone has an economic impact in Oregon of now $2.4 billion, and Oregon's craft brewing industry and wineries employ thousands of Oregonians and are award-winning and are world-renowned. The rise of these industries in Oregon is owed first and foremost to Saccharomyces cerevisiae. My district is home to Y-East Laboratories, who have been cultivating yeast just outside of Hood River now for over 25 years. Their work with yeast has allowed craft and home brewers to buy locally and contribute significantly to Oregon's reputation as a place of innovation and entrepreneurship. Due to the significant economic and cultural benefits of yeast, I urge adoption of House Resolution 12 to make Saccharomyces cerevisiae the official microbe of the state of Oregon. And I'd like to just give you a little bit of an anecdotal evidence of this from my own home district in Hood River. Back in the early, I guess late 80s, Full Sail Brewing Company obtained an economic development loan from the state of Oregon that I think was what some of the original lottery proceeds were designated for back in the day. It was for small business development. They got a loan to start up a little craft brew operation in Hood River. Within short order, they paid back that loan ahead of the time it was due. And this day, they actually are one of the largest private sector employers within our city, employing well over, I'm going to say, 150 personnel people. Family wage jobs, full benefits. They're actually an employee-owned company now as well, and they're doing tremendously, tremendously well. They have actually spun off at least four other brewing industry or companies within Hood River. And so that's just an example of what this microbe has been involved with and has led to. But I think the thing that impresses me most is how the whole craft brew world and industry in Oregon has grown so exponentially over the past, I'll say, 5 or 6 years, while, as you all know, we've been enthralled in a very tenacious and deep recession in this state, yet this industry has experienced incredibly exponential growth, and I think bodes well for the future, and it bodes well for what we all can do and what we can look forward to for future upside to this industry. So we have with us today some folks from the industry. We have one large-scale brewer and one smaller-scale brewer, and I'll let them tell their stories as well. So with that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Meyer, brewmaster with Rogue Ales for 24 years in Newport, Oregon. I strongly support Saccharomyces cerevisiae as the state microbe. Beer is primarily made with malt, hops, yeast, and water. We use several strains at Rogue Ales, but Saccharomyces cerevisiae is the foundation of our proprietary Pac-Man yeast strain maintained by Y-East Laboratory in Hood River. Thanks to yeast, Oregon is the center of the craft and craft brewing and craft distilling movement. I learned years ago, although the brewer makes the wort, which is the sugar water, it is yeast that transforms that into beer. I urge you to approve HCR 12. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ian Croxall. I'm a U.S. citizen, I'm a proud Oregonian, and I live in Salem. And I'm the owner of Sanyam Brewing Company, a small craft brewery and brew pub here in Salem. And I recently met a few of the state representatives at the tasting room of our craft brewery who talked with us about this resolution to recognize brewer's ale yeast as the state microbe.
Yeah.
There were a few chuckles and we had some good conversation. A couple of my colleagues lightheartedly pondered what's the reason behind this. So I got to thinking about it a little bit. And I'm an immigrant, I'm an Oregonian by choice. And the concept of state emblems and symbols was new to me when I came here as a transplant, and I kind of became familiar with the state beaver, Oregon grape, Dungeness crab, Chinook salmon, Douglas fir, and other emblems that represent the national treasures of our state. But why brewer's yeast? Well, state emblems don't just represent the state's flora and fauna, they represent our cultural heritage. And Oregon has a long history connected to the brewing industry. Hops have been grown commercially in Oregon for over 140 years, and hop growing was one of the few brewing-related industries that survived the cultural and economic devastation of Prohibition. They survived by exporting hops to Europe, and the legacy of that cultural devastation was still very much in evidence when I arrived here in the 1980s. I grew up in a country also with a long historical connection to brewing. I have fond childhood memories of going on Sunday drives to quaint English pubs for Sunday lunch. The English pub was a family affair. As an adult, the pub was a stopping off point on the way home from work, the neighborhood gathering place where I met and got to know my neighbors and my workmates. I left that culture to arrive at one where there were no quaint pubs, just dark, seedy, windowless taverns, tawdry dens of iniquity, and I was so shocked I resorted to staying home and just brewing my own beer. There was no good beer to be had anywhere. But that was 25 years ago, and since then, everything has changed. The state has nurtured more than its fair share of innovative home brewers who, with the help of Saccharomyces cerevisiae and a supportive state government, have started and sustained a boom in craft brewing, the artisan creation of a product that brings joy, happiness, and culture to our state. Brew pubs are now cultural icons, community centers, places for family and even business meetings and conferences. There are nearly 140 breweries in Oregon, 168 brewing facilities, and most are small microbreweries like mine. This cultural and commercial boom was brought about by the work of artisan brewers, supportive government, and the one thing that makes it all possible, Saccharomyces cerevisiae. This great little microbe is probably responsible for the civilization of mankind, as there now appears to be evidence of brewing that predates the evidence of baking by 3,000 years. But while this may be debatable, what isn't is that it's certainly responsible for an emerging Oregon culture and an Oregonian industry that produces some of the best beers in the world and boasts an economic impact of almost $2.5 billion a year. Saccharomyces cerevisiae is the perfect emissary, a representative emblem of a state industry, and a cultural heritage to be proud of. Please adopt this resolution.
Thank you, all three of you. I just start off the questioning by asking if appropriate measures are being taken for a signing ceremony when this is ultimately adopted.
Mr. Chair, we remain available to work something out. Okay. Certainly. A suitable location, yes.
Representative Berger.
I have a question that is half serious and two comments, if you'll indulge me, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
Comment number one, are you sure, sir, that the fun people were having with the activity in antiquity of making beer might not have set back the development of civilization instead of enhancing it? Because when you're busy making beer, you might not be doing other things that might have advanced. That's a rhetorical question you don't have to answer. The serious question is this. I, believe it or not, have been in on a lot of designating official state things in this state. And I have had it be derailed by somebody who liked something better in, and you're laughing, but it's happened. So is there any other microbe that anybody likes better than this one that is in competition with your microbe? And I think that's probably a question.
Representative, I think we should just make sure it gets referred to Senator Brzezinski's committee.
Because it's honestly happened, Representative, mm-hmm. where there was a competing...
Jory Soil.
Yeah.
I remember Jory Soil. Yeah.
Well, no. That we don't have the official state berry in this state because the Marion berry was my fan. I was a fan of the Marion berry, and the Kamada berry people came in and said no. So we do not have an official state berry, just so you know. Mm-hmm. It happens like
not
that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still holding out for the Marionberry. My third comment is this. Normally on these kinds of things, I groan and say, oh, please, no. I have to admit that my son-in-law spends most of his spare time making beer. He would be deeply disappointed if I did not support this bill. And my son-in-law is important to me because he's the father of my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Representative, I think in answer, I'm not aware of any other microbes that generate $2.5 billion to Oregon's economy. I would answer it that way. But
I don't know. Mold's pretty good. It, you know, and resveratrol is produced by the mold. Never mind.
Representative Denbro.
I actually do have a follow-up question. So I know that there are some yeasts that are top fermenting and others that are bottom fermenting, some for lager, some for ales. Is this an issue with this particular microbe?
I would say the majority, if I may answer, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. The ale yeast, which is the one mentioned here in the to adopt here, is the type of yeast that is used in the majority of the ales that are brewed by the Oregon craft brewing industry. There is another slightly different species of bottom fermenting yeast that's used in the production of lager. Mm-hmm. It used to be called Cerevisiae kolbergensis because it was developed at the Kolberg, or identified at the Kolberg brewing factories in the 1880s. It's recently been renamed Cerevisiae pastorius, I believe, in honor of Louis Pasteur, who did a lot of work on yeast and on microbes. But it's now believed that it, in any event, that yeast is a hybrid of a breeding between Cerevisiae and another yeast which was used in winemaking. So they are all related, and I don't think there are many lager brewers, including myself, who brews a lager, would be offended at acknowledging Cerevisiae as the predominant strain in brewing.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Any further questions? All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Chair.
Appreciate your testimony.
Happy
being
to
here today.
It is an appropriately suitable festive occasion for a bill signing.
Work on that. Close the public hearing on HCR 12, and I will open a work session on HCR 12.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 12 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves HCR 12 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion carries. Representative Holby, I would invite you to carry the bill, but I think Representative Johnson would like to do it. Close the work session on HCR 12. We'll open a public hearing on HCR 21 and HCR 22. Representative Barnhart, please.
HCR 21 honors 43 years of achievement of Helmuth Reiling as the artistic director of the Oregon Bach Festival, and HCR 22 honors Mr. Saltzman for his contributions to the Oregon Bach Festival.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from House District 11. I want to tell a very short story about another kind of fermentation that took place in Eugene starting in 1970 when these two gentlemen got together to do a master class on conducting and other ancillary things that are related to that at the University of Oregon Music School. They got along so well, and their one concert that year became so popular with the music community in Eugene, very small event, that they have collaborated ever since on what later, within a few years, came to be called the Oregon Bach Festival. Helmuth Reiling is the worldwide expert on Bach these days. He is a conductor of great renown who works all over the world, and yet he comes here every summer to work at the University of Oregon with the Oregon Bach Festival, a collaboration between the community of Eugene, the University College of Music, and the musicians and audiences from all over the world. Roy Saltzman is an expert in choral music. He's been very active worldwide in the choral music community, and yet he also had a talent for administration, as it turned out. And so these two gentlemen worked together very well and very collaboratively to build the Oregon Bach Festival over a period of many years. It meets every year. The musicians come in a week before the performance starts, and the performance lasts for 2 weeks, including the weekends on both ends. This year, for your information and for your ticket purchases, it will be on June 28th to July 14th. And the festival no longer is located entirely in Eugene. It now also has performances in Portland and a variety of other places around the state of Oregon. I would venture to say that it probably provides the best classical music available in Oregon, during that summertime period. And it's a unique organization because it started as an instructional program, a master class in conducting. And it has grown to become a performance-based, instructional-based, and community-based organization that does the best of all possible worlds. It has master classes in many, many different topics. It has a world-renowned choir that comes from all over the country and all over the world. Musicians come for small ensembles and for very large ensembles. And its expertise especially is in large force choral music. So if you want to hear some of the large choral music pieces that are rarely performed, you should come to the Oregon Bach Festival during the summer. You'll hear some of the great pieces of music of the world. Some pieces of music have been written for the Bach Festival as a result of the work of these two gentlemen. So I bring them to your attention today. Roy Saltzman has already retired as executive director. The new executive director, Dr. John Evans, is sitting next to me, along with the president of the board, David Frosaker, president of the board of the Bach Festival. This great collaboration of the University of Oregon, the community, has been one of those things that, going back to our previous bill, has been fermenting in our state for a long time, and the product is wonderful. Thank you, Mr.
Thank Chair. You for bringing these resolutions. Gentlemen.
Chair Garrett and members of the committee, thank you for inviting us here today. My name is John Evans. I'm president and executive director of the Oregon Bach Festival, and I took over leadership for the festival after Roy Saltzman retired in 2007. My background was in arts administration and broadcasting, and I came from the BBC in London, where I was head of classical music for radio and ran all the performing groups. And I knew a good deal about Oregon even before I accepted the invitation to come here and work, primarily through the work of Helmut Rilling. His first initiative was indeed the Bach Festival here back in 1970 in collaboration with Roy Saltzman. And then he used what we have here in Oregon, which is very special indeed, in my view, as the model for his own Bach Academy in Stuttgart, where he's based most of the year, and at the Stuttgart Festival, and for Bach Academies he's taken all over the world. And the model was created here in Eugene back in 1970. He's touched so many people's lives. It's quite extraordinary, actually, the achievement of these two men, because the festival's international repute actually flew by the coattails of Helmut's rising career. When he came to Oregon first, he was an organist and a budding conductor. He'd studied with Leonard Bernstein in New York, but he didn't have a conducting career. Within 10 years, he was a hot commodity all over the world, particularly in the repertoire of Bach. But he's always been true to his roots, in that he has believed that education and finding the right sort of community within which to encourage the best of performance, particularly in the Bach legacy, right down the ages to the present day and to new commissions. And he's touched over 1,200 conductors' lives he's taught here in Oregon. They come here every year as a pilgrimage just to study Bach with Helmut. And you'll find these people leading choral programs all over the United States, and many of them now running their own ensembles. In fact, when I decided to take on the job back in 2007, a conductor, an American conductor I'd worked with a lot in the United Kingdom at the BBC, said, "You're taking a job in Oregon?" I sang for Helmut in 1979 and did his conducting masterclass. And you will find that story told again and again all over the world. Because the Bach Academy model has now covered virtually every continent in the world. You know, he's Helmut's established Bach Academies as far afield as in Taipei and Moscow, in Venezuela and in Scandinavia. And every time he conducts the Berlin Philharmonic or the New York Philharmonic, his biography very proudly states that he and Roy Salzman founded the Bach Festival here in Eugene in this state. And it is a leader in the field, and quite extraordinary that it actually exists within an educational institution as well, because that's very rare for an international arts festival. Indeed, it got to the stage when I was at the BBC that there were artists making debuts with us at the BBC that had already made debuts here in Oregon with Royce and Helmut at the helm of the Bach Festival. People like Ali Nauje and Thomas Kwasthoff, an artist of a very high international repute. So I'm very pleased to be able to speak just a few words today in support of HRC 21 and 22, honoring these two extraordinary men.
Thank you.
Chair Garrett and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Frohsaker, and I chair the board of the Oregon Bach Festival. I'm pleased to be here today to speak in support of HCR 21 and 22. What Roy Salzman and Helmut Rilling have created in Eugene is truly amazing. Representative Barnhart spoke a little bit of the genesis of the festival, and it's interesting that in the first year of its existence, it had a budget of $2,500. We now, 44 years later, operate on a budget of $2.8 million a year, and the economic impact in Oregon, mainly in Eugene, but we also have performances in six or five other cities, economic impact is estimated at $6 million per year. The festival brings musicians and audiences really literally to Oregon from all over the country and even all over the world. For example, last year's festival, we had audience members from 37 states and 10 foreign countries. So it's a huge draw to the state of Oregon internationally. And over those 44 years, these two men have built a legacy based on community with its heart truly in education. I think both of these folks have indicated or talked a little bit about the educational aspect of it. I'm particularly impressed with what they do for youth, because each year over 90 high school students from across Oregon and the country come to the festival to participate in the Stangland Youth Choral Academy, where they get to study, learn and perform with these professional musicians from throughout the world. It's just an incredible experience. And over the years, the program has touched over 1,000 kids, and almost all of them at some point have indicated, including my own daughter, who was able to participate in the very first year of the Youth Choral Academy, all say this was a life-changing experience. So it's certainly appropriate to honor these two gentlemen, these teachers, these musicians, who've touched so many lives and have contributed so much to Oregon's cultural vitality and to Oregon's economy. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you for taking the time to be here and for the work you've done. I actually have some recordings from the Bach Festival, so believe it or not. Anybody else with comments or questions for the panel? Well, thank you again on behalf of the committee for bringing these resolutions, and we're happy to have the chance to honor the work that Mr. Rilling and others have done. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on HCR 21 and HCR 22, and I'll open a work session on HCR 21 and HCR 22.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 21 and HCR 22 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves HCR 21 and 22 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Objection? Hearing none, motion carries. And Representative Barnhart, will you carry both?
Yes,
please?
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the work session on HCR 21 and HCR 22. And I'll open a public hearing on HR 2. And Representative Jensen, are you going to speak to this? Ms. Seiler?
Yes, and members, HR 2 honors Robert Severson, 1932 to 2012.
We're also going to open a public hearing on the final item on our list, HCR 25, and I think Representative Jensen will speak to both if you'd like. Okay.
Excuse me a half a second. I've got something else to get.
Sorry, sprung that on you.
It's a House resolution as opposed to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to make these presentations. And Representative Smith had to step out, so we had an arranged order that it was supposed to transpire, and that has changed, and that's okay. It really is with great humility, I think, and certain pride that I bring House Resolution 2 to the committee for your consideration. I think the resolution states, whereas Mr. Robert E. Severson served his community of Hermiston, Oregon for nearly two decades, having been elected to the Hermiston City Council in 1995 and then as mayor of the city in 2000. Whereas Mr. Severson was dedicated to improving and growing Hermiston and its reputation throughout the state. Whereas Mr. Severson traveled throughout Oregon to share information about his community and express the importance of Eastern Oregon agriculture to the economy of the state. And whereas Mayor Severson was instrumental in initiating the construction of Martha's House, a shelter to provide help for those in need. Whereas Mr. Severson served on the board of directors of the Hermiston Chamber of Commerce as a board member of the Eastern Oregon Trade and Event Center and as a member of Hermiston's Future Task Force. And whereas Mr. Severson participated in Relay for Life and the Rotary, among many other charitable endeavors, and was an active member of the Peace of the Bethel Lutheran Church. And whereas Mr. Severson helped push for the creation of Hermiston Energy Services to keep the high costs of energy down for residents and businesses alike. And whereas Mr. Severson worked tirelessly to blend the agricultural assets of Hermiston with 21st century reality, making Hermiston a home to industry, providing cutting-edge agricultural engineering, food processing, and power generation methods. And whereas Mr. Severson was an exceptional caregiver for his wife, Janet, who became disabled in 2004, and took on an additional responsibility at home while continued to work with and for his community. And whereas Mr. Severson passed away on December 10th, 2012, and whereas Mr. Severson will be remembered for his passionate advocacy on behalf of and service to his community, Now, therefore, be it resolved that the House of Representatives of the State of Oregon, that we, the members of the House of Representatives of the 77th Legislative Assembly, honor Robert E. Severson and his family for their service, dedication, and contributions to the state of Oregon. And not included here in the message is a comment that I would make about Mr. Severson. He was genuinely one of the nicest people, nicest person I have ever had the privilege to know. So I humbly ask you for your endorsement of this resolution.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions for our colleague? Okay, would you also like to speak to, we also have Representative McLean here to speak to HCR 25.
I would be most honored to have Representative McLean join me if you wish at the...
Please come forward.
And members of the committee,
I think
HCR 25.
The primary sponsor of this, so I'll let him go.
Express his support for the designation of the fourth Saturday of July as National Day of the Cowboy.
Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Mike McLean. I represent House District 55 in the legislature. I have with me my intern from Prineville, Jordan Noyes, who's a sophomore at Willamette University and a graduate of Crook County High School, the Crook County Cowboys. And Jordan's father, who is a city councilor in Prineville, is the president and governing officer of the Crooked River Roundup. Prineville's celebration both of horse races and a rodeo held in late July, which coincides with the resolution, National Day of the Cowboy. Because council member Dean Noyes couldn't be here today, I asked Jordan to sit in his stead and represent the Crook County Cowboys well. HCR 25 is a resolution asking the House to designate the fourth Saturday of July as a National Day of the Cowboy. Now, this monumental effort has come out of the Congress, where the U.S. Senate in 2008 in the House passed the National Day of the Cowboy resolution. Interestingly enough, the House Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was the sponsor of it in the House and carried it, and she brought it home to her home state, Arizona, which has passed it. 13 states have passed this or perform right now, the most recent being New Mexico, who on March 4th passed the same resolution since they're standardized. And I can't confirm it's exactly the same, but I know that we took this from the template, and so I believe they did as well. So we would be joining 13 other states and considering this, and I won't read it for you because I know you all have read it and have pondered it greatly and are prepared with a rigorous examination of this, and I hope will be joining me in Prineville on the fourth Saturday in July 2013 as we celebrate the Crooked River Roundup, which next to my colleague from Pendleton is the best darn roundup in the state. I will, however, not compare Crooked River Roundup to the Pendleton Roundup because I know that that is number one, and I need your vote. So House CR 25 does what it says, and it celebrates, and for those of us who love rodeo and have celebrations in town, in their respective towns, I know this would be a fun way in which we can, all across our great country, recognize the rich heritage of the cowboy. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Do you want me to hold the panel?
It just I thought this might be appropriate. It hangs in my office. I found it in a little curio shop up in Wallowa County, and actually my wife bought it for me for some monumental occasion, like a wedding anniversary or something like that. You know, it maybe adds a little humor and a touch of reality.
Oh, hiccup. Oh, better luck. Yeah, no, there we go. Yeah. Not every ride is successful. But there is a rich tradition in rodeo called a re-ride, which is something that I think the House should adopt when all of us go up and perhaps don't prepare our best speech to get something to pass, and based upon the expression of your faces, perhaps a rewrite is in order for me. But in any event, I certainly do request the committee pass this today.
There's another rich tradition in rodeo, and that is orthopedic surgery knee replacements, of which a representative from Pendleton was the recipient a couple of years ago, as a few of you will remember, my struggling around the Capitol with a walker for a few weeks. That's it.
Thank you.
I would make a comment that it's quite, I think, fitting that maybe Pendleton and Prineville share in this moment of the rodeo.
Yes. Let's put to end all bribery in this moment.
On the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The title of the Pendleton team is the Buckaroos, which get us pretty close to the same thing that we're talking about of the Cowboys. And the tradition, while we've been separated by this marvelous group of people who align high school athletic programs up in the state of Oregon, the tradition goes back not long before my time, when Pendleton and Prineville were playing each other. And I do recall that there was a time in Prineville's history where they were historically going into the state wrestling championships, the odds-on favorite for the number one position in the state. So,
And I might add, we did win
what?
The state championship this year in wrestling.
Yeah.
But the Buckaroos beat the Cowboys in football.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I could go on, Chair Garrett.
And you have.
Thank you.
The question is by the chair.
Now I know at the Republican caucus meetings right now. Representative Kenemer had a question.
Yes, I did. I was reading the first couple of lines of your bill with interest, and is cowboy or cowboys, is that gender neutral, or are we now declaring it so?
Thank you, Chair Garrett and Representative Kinmer. This resolution recognizes the neutrality of the gender-specific heritage, that actually it's men and women both share in the heritage of the National Day of the Cowboy. So I think it's certainly a recognition that the term cowboy does embrace both men and women.
Thank you for that legal interpretation.
And I respectfully submit, in addition to that, if you come to the roundup and watch the roundup court and the girls come riding in, you will recognize that is horsemanship at its best. Yes,
they look good.
Gender neutral, and even in the old days, of the roundup, women entered in the saddle bronc riding and other of the stock entries that were available for them, that were available. So it always has been pretty gender neutral.
And I believe Senator Dingfelder injured her foot in the rodeo up in Pendleton.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. That didn't happen. That was a rumor. At any event, she told me she went to Pendleton and she came back injured. I thought that was...
That's a pretty logical... It should be probably fair to say, because there's an institution there known as the Letter Buck Room, she probably was,
Cowboys.
You know, checking that
Mr.
out.
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to move ahead.
I think you both have ingested too much of the official state microbe at this point. Thank you very much for your testimony. We will, with no further testimony, we will close the public hearing on both HR 2 and HCR 25. Open a work session on, we'll do HR, open a work session on HR 2.
Mr. Chair, I move HR 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves HR 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Hearing none, motion carries. HR 2 is moved to the floor with a be adopted recommendation, and Representative Smith will carry that resolution. Close the work session on HR 2. Open a work session on HCR 25.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 25 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Hicks moves HCR 25 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion on the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm inclined to not support this, given the kind of comments that Representative McLean made about my senator. but I will support it if he will consider. You may not know that Representative McLean used to live in my district.
I know some things about that.
And
yeah.
If he would consider coming back and starting the Grant Park Roundup, I would consider voting for this.
I absolutely agree to do that.
And I think Representative McLean should sometime off the record tell Representative Denbro the rest of the Senator Dingfelder story.
Her sign was in my yard.
a Jackie Dingfelder supporter.
I wasn't going to out him like that.
I said after.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Any objection to the motion? Hearing none. Motion carries. HCR 25 is moved to the floor. Be adopted recommendation. Representative McLean.
Thank you.
Carry the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Close the work session on HCR 25, and that concludes our business. We're adjourned.